This week on Potlatch, American Indian teacher and composer Dr. Lewis Ballard of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Jimmy Tooley of Sifunga compare musical instruments and songs. Since this week's Potlatch concerns Native American musical instruments, we'll begin with drums by Peter LaFarge.
From the reservation to the governmental school, well, they're going to educate me to the white man, cold and rude. And I am learning quickly, for I've learned be ashamed, and I come when they call Billy, though I've got an Indian name. But there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Now when they think they've changed me, cut my hair to meet their needs, will they call me white or Indian, quarter blood or just half breed? Say, let me tell you, Mr. Teacher, who is going to make me right in 600 years of fighting? Not one Indian has turned to white. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Well, you thought that I knew nothing when you brought me here to school. Just another empty Indian, just America's first fool. I can tell you stories that are burnt and dried and old, and in the shadow of their telling walks the thunder, brave and bold. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Why, there's Lone Pine and Sequoia, Handsome Lake and Sitting Bull. There goes Mangus, Colorado, with his sleeves so red and full. There goes Crazy Horse, the legend, and those who bit off Custer's soul. They are dead, but yet they're living with the great Geronimo. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Well, you may teach me this land's history, but we taught it to you first. We broke your hearts. We bent your journeys. Broken treaties left us cursed. Even now, you'd have to cheat us. Even though you think us tame, in our losing, we found proudness. In your winning, you found shame. And there are drums beyond the mound, Indian drums you cannot hear. There are drums beyond the mound, and they're getting mighty near.
Dr. Lewis Ballard came to the interior of Alaska in mid-March. The American Indian educator and composer gave classes and workshops on teaching Native American music in schools. Ballard believes it's important for all Americans to learn about their common heritage. He believes Native American music as valid an art form as classical music from Europe. He begins this portion of our program by introducing musical instruments of the tribes of the lower 48.
We've got some drums here. I say we because I have also some very interesting people here in our studio for our program. And this is Jimmy Tooley from
Savunga.
Savunga from St. Lawrence Island. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And this is my first time to meet Jimmy. And his first time to meet me, but we've been making music in our different parts of the world in our own ways, and so maybe the drums brought us together. But anyway, I want your listening audience to hear the sound of two different kinds of drums. Mine is a elk skin drum with a sheepskin beater. And this is fabricated by the Yakima Indian drum maker in Oregon, in Washington. And it makes a sound somewhat like this. Whenever it's cold, I have to heat up this drum and put a heater on it, which will give it a little bit more resonance and keep it from cracking. But they're both very sensitive, both these drums, and Jimmy will tell you a little bit about his drum, which I think he made. But this is the sound of the hand drum, which is so similar to that of the Dakota Sioux and the Yakima Indians and the Quapaws and the Omahas and Osages and the tribes in the continental part of the United States. Down in the lower 48. And Jimmy is going to make a sound on his drum here and tell you what it's made of.
This is my drum is it's old timer. Long time ago they made it driftwood frame. But walrus stomach, we use it for a cover for our drum. We use it for Eskimo dance. So before we use it, we put a little bit of water, get wet, so it won't break.
That's every time you use it?
No. When it gets dry.
When it gets dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See? Sounds different now. Get wet.
I see.
After a while, it will more sound different. Yeah. This one. Mm-hmm. When we take outside, we take to some place, cool water, pretty cool. When we get inside the house, when we put the water, a little bit, getting AC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When cool water lay him outside, that's why he made it that way. Sound not too good.
You mean if the water's too cold, it won't sound good?
Cold, yeah. Then I played it while it's high, while it's stomach. blade it. Then they put the air. Put the air and let them dry. When they dry, we have them. We have in the middle. So we use one drum. We use two drums, one stomach. Mm-hmm. We use it for two drums. Because they're very big, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About a foot and a half, maybe. Foot and a half. About foot, 4 inch wide. One well of stomach. We can use it two drums for that much big.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, I'll sing one song with my drum here.
Yeah.
And I'll sing a song, a Rickery song, mm-hmm. from North Dakota. That means it's a dance society song. It says in his song, it's good to belong to the dance club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you sing a song, that pulling song, or whatever you want to sing. Mm-hmm. So I'll sing this song for the Potlatch audiences. And this translated, the dance society is good. Hilonshka is the dance society, and Tudahe means it's very good. So the Arikara people, some composer a long time ago, I don't know who it was, nobody knows who it was. It's been so many years ago that this composer made up this song. Now you're hearing some other sounds here besides the drum, and that's the deer hoof rattles, the deer hoof claws that are on the drumstick. This was an Arikari song from North Dakota, and this was a War Dance Society song in which the singer-composer said it's good to belong to the War Dance Society. Now we're going to ask Jimmy to sing a song with his drum, and he'll explain the song.
Okay. So I'm going to sing for pulling song. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Jimmy. Hmm? Did that have words in it?
No, that's all. You got no words. The title is the polling song. Some of them song got the meaning. You got meaning.
So Indian music, Eskimo music, has similarities in terms of its makeup and its style of composition. It's composed by a person. An individual composed the songs, and they have words in the songs, in some songs, and other songs have no words, are called vocables. And these vocables are derived from the language, but some songs have words and other songs have no words. And the song may be a few days old, or it may be of a very ancient age, having been composed by a composer who's now dead. Now, a great many forms of songs exist in Native America, and the singers, you see, our music of our Native peoples is mainly vocal music. It's mainly sung, and the accompaniment is various things, rattles, idiophones, which have no tune quality, membranophones, which are drums that have the membrane of an animal, of some mammal or some kind of animal. There are chordophones, some stringed instruments, and there are aerophones, which have the air as the vibrating body. These may be flutes. Now, rattles, of course, idiophones. Here are some rattles that come from the Algonquin Iroquois country, and the vibrating body is a cow horn, hollowed out, and inside are little pieces of pebbles, with each end of the cow horn enclosed by a section of wood. And it makes this particular sound. But again, this is used to accompany the singer while he's singing a song. And the materials that our people found in his environment, these were the materials that were used to make musical instruments. Here's one made of deer claw rattles, or deer hoof. Actually, these are called dew claws. That's the little hoof that's found about halfway up on the foreleg of a deer. It never touches the ground, and these are called dew claws, so it makes this kind of sound. These are musical textures. Here's a different rattle that comes from tin cans, which have been cut in sections and hung on buckskin so that when you shake them, they hit against each other, producing this tinkling sound. Very similar to this texture is another instrument that is used by dancers in the Southwest, and these are seashells, which are cut and hang on a belt, and they make a jingling sound, somewhat like this. This belt hangs around the waist or hangs around the shoulder of the dancers while they're dancing so that you get this kind of sound. Well, there are rattles made of dried cowhide, which make a different texture, so that the native inventor was busy at work while the singer was busy composing, and the native inventor was making and discovering textures from these various instruments. So that all of these things should become a part of our educational process, and our youngsters in our schools should know about these. I think that's one thing that that our schools should emphasize, that our educators must emphasize, that our native languages, our native customs, costumes, if we don't want to call them costumes, then our native dress, our native foods, our native ways of life have all of these have beauty in them. And we want to take the best of both cultures and to make a life for ourselves. This is what the youngster must decide. And I want to ask Jimmy, are the young people learning your songs up there, Jimmy?
Some of them a little bit. Some of them a little bit.
Yeah. I saw you here at the Native Alaskan Native Arts Festival, and I liked your performance very much. And you have a young lady here with you. Who is she?
Karen. Karen Aya.
Karen Aya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw her dance and go through the very beautiful Eskimo dances from your region. And I was very proud of her. And I'm sure you were too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the festival saw her perform on stage with her other friends. And I think it was a valuable contribution she made to the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly appreciate your coming over here. This discussion of Indian music and Indian performing arts, I think, is pertinent to our educators and also to our mainstream citizens. Now, you might say, well, Indian music is all right for you Indians and you natives because you know it. It's a part of you. But what about our school music programs? How can we use these if nobody can come into the schools and teach them? Well, this is precisely the problem which is being solved by some of your innovative programs at the University of Alaska, namely the Exceed program, which has gone out to the bush areas to help educate Native teachers who will come into the classroom to teach youngsters as educators. And I think that the state of Alaska should certainly support and endorse this program because it's one of the most innovative and far-reaching programs that teacher education and curriculum has seen in many years. And as I've seen when I worked up in Fort Yukon and Chalkeesic with the Exceed teachers from Tanana and Huslia and Caltech who came to work with me in the workshop there, I see an enthusiasm that that they will impart to future generations of school children in Alaska. Now, this material has importance for the majority youngster also, because this is our American heritage and our American background, our folk heritage. And the Swedish youngster, the Irish youngster, the Jewish youngster, the Welsh youngster, whatever background he may have. As an American, this material can broaden his perspectives as a liberally educated young person. A person who can sing songs of many different peoples will have a greater respect for the cultures of other people. And he will be a person who can move about in this society, ever increasingly complex, in a manner which is more befitting to the liberalized American citizenry, which we hope that we're educating in our schools. This is a smaller world each year, thanks to our communications media. And one of these near years, we'll have, as I understand, satellites, which will be circling the globe and giving us timely radio and TV programs. And we'll hear music from many parts of the world. So I think it's doubly important that our curriculum and our schools utilize the available resource material. Now, in terms of aerophones, as I was speaking in the program the other day, and as I mentioned today, flutes, courtship flutes of the old culture, have never really become a part of the musical understanding of our musicians. Our music schools certainly don't use these instruments, such as the one I have here. This is a courtship flute of the Oglala and Rosebud Sioux. And this is called a wi'ikijo in the native tongue. It means man who whistles for a woman. Because the men used to use this as courtship to select their bride. And when it came time for a young man to choose his bride, he had to make one of these flutes and follow this young lady down to the berry patch or the watering hole, wherever she was going, and court her on this flute. And this is what the flute sounds like. Soft and mellow tone, and these courtship flutes have been found in Pueblo culture along the Rio Grande in New Mexico, among the Ute Indians, among the Apache, the Sioux, the Cheyenne, the Papago, and the Ute people, and a great many of our American Indian native peoples have these. This is an Athabascan instrument in terms of the Apache, who are Athabascan in the lower 48. So, Indian music is in many different forms, and Indian music is a vital, living tradition if we encourage it and keep it alive. If we don't, then many of the older songs will be lost when the older singers leave us. So it's important for our young people to know these songs.
Dr. Lewis Ballard and Jimmy Tooley of Savunga. Now to top off this week's potlatch, Buffy St. Marie singing about the common heritage of Native Americans.
Who's got a head to match up with a raven? Who's got the prairie sun in every smile? Who's got good credit yet with all Mother Nature?
Music of Buffy St. Marie, concluding Potlatch for this week. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.